This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
From the text line, Dory, today's hour number two echo was beautiful and haunting. Thank you. I appreciate the feedback. Welcome to our Fastest 15. It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. I have lots of stories I want to update you on that we've told you about in the last few days. Down in Olympia, there was a battle. I don't know why I'm jumping right into this. I usually say at least hello to Nicole here. Nicole, if I don't get my right eye fixed soon, I'm going to go insane. So I brought you in just so I could complain.
Yeah, after you said you weren't going to talk about medical things as often.
Oh, yeah, I said I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, yeah. But I'm serious. This imbalance is... It's enough to drive someone crazy.
Yeah, I imagine. It throws off your equilibrium, I bet.
No fun. Okay, anyway, I'll move on. We got a lot of stories we want to update people on. So, and we've been getting stonewalled a lot, especially by these school districts. But what I love is we have so many parents who are and kids who are tipping us off to the insanity in the schools. But I do find it troubling that all of these school districts think that they can hide under a veil of secrecy. And I'm going to share, I'll either get to it today or tomorrow, but I have a long email thread between one of our listeners and the Puyallup school board and the Puyallup superintendent. And it makes me sad because Puyallup used to be kind of a good, you know, good American blue-collar type community. And it has gone in the schools. They have gone radical left. And I knew some good people who were on the Puyallup school board, and they had to get out because it was, I mean, it was ruining their life and their psyche because of the extremism they had to deal with. So now what you have left is a superintendent and a school board where they are so radically to the left, and they think that they should use their positions just to push a radical agenda. And we'll share these emails with you a little bit later, either today or tomorrow. But it's something else, and it just shows how not just tone deaf, but they all seem to lack self-awareness, these school officials. So we'll keep fighting for all of this stuff. Another story that I want to update you on, down in Olympia, we told you last week that there was a tree that was on, it kind of was on the border between two properties. And most of it was on a property where a developer wants to tear down the tree and build a house. And a tiny part of the tree is on this other guy's property. But state law says if any part of a tree is on your property, you have equal say in what happens to that tree. But what we've discovered is, again, the party in charge, Democrats, the far left, they talk all the time about the planet and about nature and about carbon emissions. But here you have something that actually helps the planet and is beautiful. And we're talking about these big old trees. And the same people on the left, they cannot tear down trees fast enough. Sound Transit has torn down thousands of trees along I-5 between Northgate and Linwood. And the trees used to really soften and beautify that stretch of I-5, but now it's just a concrete jungle with more concrete light rail scam tracks going in alongside the freeway. Trees come down all the time. City of Seattle, they want to upzone. If you have a single family house that might have one or two nice trees in the backyard, they want to be able to tear down those trees and allow the homeowner to tear down their house and build duplex, triplex, fourplex on that property. They want to get rid of yards. They want to get rid of trees. But it's just interesting that the person, me, who's accused of being a global warming denier, which is not true, I just deny that man's role is as significant as a lot of people pretend it is. But I'm the one who loves trees and loves a city that has green space and green backyards. But it's the politicians who want to tear down the trees, want to take away yards. And that's what's happening all around the region. Why? Money. If you have a single family house that assesses at $600,000, $700,000, and they can tear it down and put up a fourplex built cheap where each unit sells for over $1 million, well, all of a sudden, government has a bunch more property tax dollars they get to play with. So they'll tear down trees left and right for sound transit, for upzoning. They'll destroy nature if it's in a financial interest. The guy who owned a little tiny sliver of that tree, he lost his fight. A judge said, yeah, the developer can tear it down. Even though state law clearly seems to say that this guy was able to have equal say on the tree. His name is Andrew Hanna. He was talking to Gary Horker at our news partner's Cairo 7.
There's no reason to die over the tree that's already gone.
Yeah, because they decided, well, we're going to just slice the tree right down the property line, which will kill it. And this guy was even thinking about, well, should we attach ourselves to the tree? But no, because the tree's dead anyway.
I don't feel defeated. I feel intensely disappointed with the local government that represents the country I served. They did not protect my rights.
This guy fought in the U.S. Marines and fought for rights and for the law. And the politicians, judges, they ignore the law for money. And for no other reason. I love that guy's line, though, because this is how I feel on this radio show every single day.
I don't feel defeated. I feel intensely disappointed with the local government.
Yeah. I don't feel defeated. That's why I come back in here swinging every day. But I am intensely disappointed with our local government. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, man, I am telling you, the floodgates have opened on Bill Gates. And we talked about this last week, Nicole, that Jeff Bezos seemed to be a bit of a scandal right when it was announced because he was having an affair and with Lauren Sanchez, the TV reporter, and her brother leaked the text messages that exposed their affair. But that seemed to burn hot for a couple of days, and then it kind of disappeared. Didn't you think that?
Yes, and I was really hopeful that Bill Gates was not going to go the same way. But it did, or a similar scandal.
It's going even worse. It's going even worse for Bill Gates because it didn't burn hot, but kind of smoldered. And now every day stuff is coming out about Bill Gates. So the story that came out over the weekend, Melinda Gates first talked to a divorce lawyer in 2013 because she was worried about Bill Gates' relationship with pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein had already been connected to pedophilia before 2013. But for some reason, Bill Gates decided to befriend the guy. And Bill Gates took flights on the so-called Lolita Express, Jeffrey Epstein's private jet. And Melinda Gates was upset and concerned that Bill Gates was hanging out with a known pedophile. We're also finding out that the divorce is very bitter. The kids seem to be siding with Melinda. She went to a resort that is $160,000 a night. $162,000 a night when they made the divorce announcement, and all three kids went with Melinda to the resort, and Bill was left by himself. The kids seemed to be siding with their mom, which also makes you wonder what they know about this split. My theory about that, though, you know, I love going on vacation, family vacations with our girls, even though they're adults now. And my line, every year I say the same thing to my wife. My wife goes, well, shouldn't they at least pay their own way now? And when our oldest daughter was 18, I said, honey, this might be the last vacation we ever take as a family. And then when she was 19 and 20, oh, honey, this might be the last one we ever take. And she said, you said that last year and the year before. And so finally, I said, well, how about if we pay for the rooms and they pay for their own airfare? And then for 13 years, I've been saying to my wife, well, this might be the last trip we ever take as a family. Now our son-in-law goes with us. My wife's tired of me trotting out that same old line. But so maybe that's what Melinda did. Maybe she told the kids, hey, I will rent this $160,000 a night resort, but you have to pay your own airfare.
Maybe
got them to go with them.
I'm pretty sure they just jumped on the plane with her, on their plane.
They probably
each had their own.
She probably asked them to chip in for gas on the plane, though, don't you think?
Sure. I'm sure they did not mind.
Okay. Yeah, they're doing okay.
I am impressed at how long this was kept secretive. If that's the case, if this has been going on for years and years, and, you know, if he has been shacking up with his old girlfriend for years and years, like, it's pretty impressive how long they kept it a secret.
Well, that's not an if. It sounds like he had a deal when he got married that he still got to go to a little beach getaway with his old girlfriend one weekend a year, which is creepy. Hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein is really creepy. The kids are siding with mom. It's very bitter. And then the one that came out today is there was a book, and this one, I just think this is piling on. As creepy as I think Bill Gates is, there's a story that came out today that resurrects a biography from 1997 that talked about how Bill Gates, when he was single, just a young computer nerd, he was known for womanizing and having naked pool parties at a house he owned on Lake Washington. That's according to this biography called Overdrive, Bill Gates and the Race to Control Cyberspace. But they said that he had wild bachelor parties. And look, how old was Bill Gates 24 years ago? He was like in his 30s. He's mid-30s and he's a billionaire. And naked parties are not for me, but mainly because I wouldn't want anybody to see me naked, for crying out loud. But I just would never go in for that sort of thing. But if a mid-30s billionaire, that doesn't surprise me. He wasn't married. But they're trotting that out like it's another example, like the Jeffrey Epstein thing and everything else. So they are piling on en masse on Bill Gates here. Okay, next, speaking of billionaires, local billionaires, Jeff Bezos is getting a $500 million yacht. And again, Nicole, this is something that you could relate to, because when we went on a cruise 2 years ago, my wife, our daughters all went. You and a friend went on the cruise. And didn't we stop on that trip in, wasn't it Saint-Tropez, right off of France?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So you saw that in the waters, on the waters off of Saint-Tropez, there is like a billionaire yacht. Who's got the biggest? And I'm not just talking about yachts. But, you know, I've heard stories that Paul Allen would order a yacht and then some other billionaire would order a yacht that was 3 feet longer than Paul Allen's. Well, now Jeffrey Bezos, he is getting a $500 million super yacht, reported to be the biggest ever. They say that now he'll be comfortable among the Saint-Tropez jetting class. The yacht will have its own satellite support yacht with a helipad. And Bill Gates, or I'm sorry, Jeff Bezos, he's tried to keep it a secret, but now the word is out. Here's the thing. You know, get whatever you want, Jeff Bezos. But when your Amazon buys the naming rights to the Seattle Center Coliseum and you name it the Climate Pledge Arena, your yacht is going to use and burn more carbon emissions than the arena would in 10 years, probably. Your yacht in 1 year. There is nothing, you know, private jets are bad. But yachts and these super yachts, nothing is worse on burning diesel fuel and blowing out carbon emissions. And I just find it humorous. And I just thought I would point out, I don't know if it's hypocrisy, but he dares use his naming rights to call it Climate Pledge Arena, but he thinks nothing of getting a $500 million super yacht that's the biggest ever. Oh, yeah. Real environmentalist there. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. It's Tuesday afternoon. Dave Wyman is going to drop by for his usual visit. That's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Dave, I have absolutely no idea.
No clue.
Come on, guys.
No clue.
Who is it?
You don't know David Bowie?
Yeah, I might have gotten to vocals.
Is this a popular song of his?
It was the number one single.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that I
must have
now
been
that
dead
I hear
that
it.
Year. Oh, wait, that
no,
was last year.
No, just your soul was. Yeah. Dave Wyman is with us. He drops by every Tuesday. How are you? It's good to talk
good.
To you.
Good talking to you. How's it going? Nice, beautiful day.
It's good. It's a gorgeous day out. I saw a story, Dave, that I want to get your take on. You've never been, as long as I've known you, much of a club-going guy. Is that a fair statement?
Like when I was in the league, out clubbing. First of all, every shirt that I owned looked like a cover for a picnic table. And then, you know, I had jeans and a bad haircut.
Okay.
So, no.
But you found and attracted a gorgeous wife. So I'm guessing whatever magical spell you cast on on Shannon would have worked on one of those club people.
Well, you know, it's funny. She was a seagull at the time, and I thought, She was the most beautiful woman in Seattle, and I was like, she's probably dating some European male model, you know. But it turns out, like, I pulled up to pick her up in my Bronco, and I guess she was like, because she'd been on like a bunch of first dates, and like everybody had like a Porsche and you know, a Maserati, and then one guy I guess was telling her how much his shoes cost, and so I came along at the right time. Then, you know, she saw that I had a dog. And I had a Christmas tree up, which she really liked that, too. That's how you hook the ladies, okay?
Okay,
take it from
nice.
Me.
That's good advice. The reason I bring this up, because, you know, I'm not much of a club goer either. But did you hear what they're doing in the new stadium in Las Vegas?
No.
This season? for the Las Vegas Raiders.
For the Raiders, yeah.
Yeah, so they're putting a club in the end zone that's going to operate during games. It's going to have, you know, the couple of times that I've been out, and it was when I wore a younger man's clothes, but the couple times that I've been out, you have to scream to talk to your friends, and, yeah. and it's horrible. It's like my image of, in all seriousness, I think that's what hell might be like. Just loud thumping music and a bunch of pretentious people, and everybody's concerned about looks and sex and getting drunk and all that. That's hell. Yeah. That's hell on earth right there. Okay, anyway. So the new Wynn Field Club at the Vegas Stadium, they're going to have DJs, including some famous ones like David Guetta. Are you a big David Guetta fan?
Oh, huge. I can't get enough.
Yeah.
He's on my Spotify.
I only like... he actually is on my Spotify because he does one song with Sia, who I really like. But anyway, I digress. Wow, my voice just really cracked. So they're going to have Instagram models walking around. They're going to have a DJ. And they say they're going to offer the ticketed guests an upgraded, high-energy nightlife experience in the center of the action during football games.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking that I don't need to know much more about the people who go to this club. I think I can make a personal judgment on every one of them.
Well, you know, it's funny.
I'm guessing.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just guessing I wouldn't get along with them.
Yeah, it's not your scene, man. I wonder if, like, if there was like a, you know, AARP type of club, if you'd fit in that
right.
environment. I'm looking at the Clevelander. Now, that's at Marlins Park, and it's pretty similar. So it's a mm-hmm. big bar, and then they've got a pool, and there's, you know, there's what, five or six people in there wearing bikinis, and the guys are wearing shorts, and, you know, and then there's a few people watching the game, at least the picture I'm looking at. But I'm like, well, what's the point? Why would you go right. to a club and, you know, because football is, you know, we were talking about it on our show the other day, like baseball is a great date sport, right? When you mm-hmm. go to a baseball game, there's plenty of time to talk and everything. Football, not really. Or if you go to the Sounders, right. where everybody's always cheering and yelling, you know. But yeah, just not a place to. I mean, a football game is so much more intense. I don't understand. You know, I guess they think they're going to make some money from it, and we'll see what happens.
Well, but they will. That's the thing. They will make money, but it's another indication that sports is it's all about making money and doing it at any expense. And the idea of introducing DJs and scantily clad people to just so you can get them to buy bottle service, I don't know. It's just the whole thing just makes me sick, Dave. That's what I guess. That's how I sum it up.
Well, I don't care. I guess I think it's weird. It's just plain weird. But you know, look. I think you know what the NFL is doing and everything. Like the ratings have taken a hit. You know, and for a lot of the sports, and so you know they need to start. Maybe I don't know. Maybe this is like the outer reach. Like they've tried everything they can to bring more people in, and maybe they should just get back to the basics and stop calling penalties for guys just tackling people, you know. So you right. know, we'll see how all of the ratings. I've heard, like, is the NBA down like 50%?
Yeah,
50%
the
ratings.
NBA, yes.
Yeah,
but you know what? It goes across the board, and I think you and I have talked about this before, that if people want to be entertained, they don't necessarily want politics. So I'll give you another example. You're a big Jeopardy fan.
Yeah.
I haven't seen. I've got all the episodes on my DVR, but I haven't seen the week that Anderson Cooper was the host. Have you seen any of those?
No, I didn't see him, but I saw you know, another reporter, and there was Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, that's all I saw.
Yeah.
And Dr. Oz.
Well, Katie, Katie Couric did it 1 week, and her ratings were awful. And it's for the same reason that she got drummed out of CBS News. And again, I personally like Katie Couric because she was really sweet to me and my wife and my daughters. But she was perceived as having such a bias that, you know, her ratings were horrible on CBS News. So then she goes on Jeopardy and her ratings are bad. And then they have Anderson Cooper for a week, and he had the worst ratings of any of the guest hosts since Alex Trebek. And again, it's my contention for the same thing we're talking about with sports. When people want to be entertained, they just want to be entertained. They want to forget about all the stressful stuff that we deal with Monday through Friday.
I totally agree. And the thing is, if you want to take that chance and do it, fine. You know, but I mean, at some point, if the ratings are coming down because of that, they're going to have to start tying the players' salaries to ratings. You know, you can't just do whatever you want. And look, I'm the same way. I want to get away from it. And I know that people have been like, those days are gone. Guys are going to express themselves. Well, let's see what the repercussions are. Because look, you know, you saw the election. I mean, you're going to alienate half your crowd, your fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Major League Baseball's done with moving the All-Star game. People didn't care if it stayed in Atlanta, but people were upset that it moved. And so it goes from, you know, the most popular sport among half of Americans to the least popular among that same half. So, yeah, it's just people want to impose their personal views on their business.
Well, I think most people feel like it's a bait and switch. You know, it's like, wait, I tuned in to watch football. I mean, that's why I keep any of my political opinions to myself, because I just figure nobody cares. Does somebody really want to hear what I think? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, obviously that's your job and everything, but I refuse to participate in the sports world just because, look, we have, you know, listeners that are from both sides, but I don't care. Actually, I like that, and I like that that we're able to just kind of stay out of it. But it's crept its way into sports, and I think that we're going to see repercussions from it. I think you're going to see in ratings that people just don't want that, especially in this day and age. You can get that stuff anywhere, but you know the NFL is maybe, like you said, it's like your little refuge from getting away from all of the things that are going on in the world right now.
And by the way, I absolutely agree with your approach, too. Because, you know, when I was doing the Seahawks stuff for many, many years, if somebody listened to that broadcast, they would have no idea if I was liberal or conservative.
I would have no idea just knowing you, Dory. I mean, you never talk about that stuff. I mean, we're talking about...
Yeah, off the air.
Yeah, off the air. I mean, it's just... Yeah. So, that's the way you have to play it. I think it's important for ratings and things like that. This is Phil Collins. Or is it Genesis?
Genesis.
It's a tie. You both said Genesis at the same time.
Actually, it was just a little bit before him.
I know.
Dave wins.
You know, I heard me a full half second before you. Yeah, but I wouldn't have gotten it if you hadn't said Phil Collins. You remember was this the one that had the really weird video with the animation?
No, that was one of the first ones. It was
Land of Confusion, right? That was the weird one.
No, it was from the We Gotta Move These Color TVs.
That's Dire Straits.
Dire Straits.
That's Dire Straits.
That was like and it was a cartoon video where they were moving stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
It mixed between, like, live playing footage and the cartoon. Yeah, exactly.
Two old men trying to remember something from the 70s and 80s.
I got to get to a break here.
It's great
radio. I got to move on here. Okay, Dave Wyman's going to stay with us. We've got a lot of other stuff to talk with him about as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Dire Straits?
Correct,
Dave.
Okay, 1-0, Dave.
You got the Genesis one. 1-1. Next man who guesses right wins.
Okay, next one wins. All right, I'll take that. I don't mean to. I do want to talk to you about some sports stuff. Well, I should talk to you about this first, and then if I have time for the other thing, I will. So a lot of people were making a big deal out of Seahawk wide receiver DK Metcalf running for what was the event?
It was a 100-meter Olympic. I think it was an Olympic qualifying heat. It was really? Dubbed as that. Yeah. So he, in the heat that he was in, he came in ninth of nine sprinters, but just barely. Right. And then he actually, from the other heat, I think there was another eight, and the next one, he beat two of them as far as the time goes. It's remarkable. You don't run for a living. I mean, you run in football, but I was right. a track guy. So, and you know a lot about all the little details that go into it, and you know, and they, that's all those guys do is work on that, you know, where you're supposed to, you know, the get off at the gun, you know, getting that timed up, you know, bringing your head up slowly and then getting your, all these little body movements. It's pretty impressive what he did, and he was very cool about it, and he was very respectful of the other athletes and didn't want to make it into some kind of a clown show, and it wasn't, because he was legit.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you about this, because correct me if I'm wrong, but not only were you a recruited D1 football player, but didn't you win the Northern Nevada 100-meter championship?
Yeah, I was the Northern Nevada, what they called it, the sprint champion. I won the 100, the 200, and then I was on the 400 relay team. But I think the novelty for me was that I was a shot putter. So, yeah, usually those guys don't run in the sprints.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. As I was watching DK Metcalf, and he was in kind of a middle lane. There were people on either side of him.
Yeah.
He must have outweighed those guys by 60, 70 pounds.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was just... I kind of imagine that's what you looked like, too, when you were running sprints as a linebacker. But I mean, just the body size and shape... It wasn't a body made to sprint, it looks like, no. But he's still putting up close to world-class times.
It's very remarkable. And remember, they got him in the second round. He was supposedly never going to play football again when he got hurt at Ole Miss. So, yeah, he's a great story. But, you know, you look at that was a legitimate sort of vie to get into the Olympics. It was, you know, a lot of people thought it was some kind of a stunt, but
right.
it wasn't. As it turned out.
No, it's very impressive. All right.
Fleetwood Mac. Darn it.
Dory wins.
Good call, Dory.
You know what? I'm listening to a lot of Fleetwood Mac because it turns out of all the 70s bands, Fleetwood Mac is the favorite 70s band of at least two of my daughters.
No way. Yeah, Kendall and her mom, my wife, went to see Stevie Nicks. By the way, I have an admission to make to you. Been listening to a lot of Billy Joel lately.
Isn't it the best?
Well, I don't know about that. But I saw the other day on a movie called 13 Going on 30, they played the song Vienna. That's a beautiful song. Love that.
It is.
I know you're a big Billy Joel fan.
Huge! All right. Dave Wyman, you can hear him every afternoon on 710 ESPN Seattle, our sister station. Thanks for coming by, Dave. Okay. I appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
You too. And we have lots more to come right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.